All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Monday, March 3rd of 2025. And looking ahead here, we have a 7-game NBA main slate as well as a 5-game NHL main slate. So it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSims, a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there's a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. All right. Looks like we had a little bit of trouble today going live on X. So it looks like we're only streaming here on YouTube today. I'll figure out why that happened and get that corrected before tomorrow's show. But appreciate you guys tuning in on YouTube. So let's get SaberSim up. We do have a number of questions that came in before the show, so we'll start with those and just kind of go from there. So we're just going to work from the top down. Danny said, I'm really not understanding what to do with late swap. If there is news, what is the process to late swap, and does SaberSim know to work around the players whose games have already started? I'm new to all this. I'm just trying to learn on my own instead of paying people for lineups. Okay, good question. So first off, let's just talk about late swap, right? What is late swap? How does it work? So probably easier to pull up our late swap tutorial and like walk through this. So this video is a breakdown of late swap, right? But what's happening in late swap, right? So, okay. So first thing you're going to do is you're going to build your lineups before the contest starts, right? Now, here on the West Coast, the contests are starting at 4 p.m. Eastern. After this time, the builder is going to change a little bit, right? You're going to get this green late swap icon that appears at 4:01 p.m. Pacific time, okay? So what this does, the way a late swap build is different from a regular build is that it identifies the game time for the players, and then it locks those players so they can't be put into new lineups, or if they are in lineups, they can't be removed from lineups. So the way the builder works, right, is we randomly sample all the game sims, we play out the sims, and then we build your lineups, right? The way late swap works is we lock in the players whose games have already started. If you know, Kyrie Irving is in your point guard spot, he gets locked into the point guard. He can't be moved regardless of how he did in a new sim that runs or something like that. And then what we do is we say, okay, we have this much salary left. We have these many positions available. And the positions that are available would be the ones where the player's game hasn't started yet. Now it says, now based on these new sims that we've run, rebuild the lineup based on the outcomes of the new sims. So if projections change, starting lineups change, players get ruled out, etc. here, all of that will be captured in the new projections. All of that will be taken into account in the new sims that we run. Okay, so that's your late swapping, because you're trying to, one, get out players out of your lineups and get projected players into your lineups. And then two, you're trying to take advantage of new players getting announced as playing when maybe they weren't expected to be playing before, right? So that is like the goal of late swap, right? Let's say, for example, tonight, you know, I think Chet Holmgren hurt his ankle like last game, and maybe he's questionable, and then maybe he gets ruled out and Isaiah Hartenstein ends up starting for him rather than coming off the bench, right? Well, that's a huge boost to Hartenstein. You probably can get him at a cheaper price because he is priced as if he is not starting, right? So that's kind of the goal with late swap. Now, going back to our tutorial, so what you do is you click the late swap button here, right? This green button. And then you get this pop-up, right? So these are your late swap settings, okay? So you don't really need to do anything special here. I typically do create without building, but that's just because I don't wait until I have to late swap to late swap, okay? Or to create a build, right? So what I mean is you can go and create your late swap build and have it ready for when you need it, okay? Or you can just open it and click the swap now button. That's totally fine too. Now, after your swap runs, it's going to look something like this, right? Where you're going to have your contest, you're going to have your player table. Now, just to kind of break some of these down, right? So this exposure is your new exposure. It is the percent of lineups the players are in now. The original is what it used to be in your pre-slate build. And then the delta is just an exposure minus original category or column, right? It's telling you, describing, hey, your player exposures have changed by this much. And you can see which players you're getting more of, which players you're getting less of, and kind of go from there, okay? So then all you need to do, right, is if you have contest sims, run them, right? That's what's happening here in the video. If you don't, you know, you're going to get to this point here, and then you want to click this save to contest button, and then you want to go and then upload those files, the file to DraftKings, and then you're all done, right? So the point of lead swap is to take advantage of late breaking news and re-optimize your lineups based on updated projections. So that's the big point there. Check out this video again, you know, watch it a couple times, walk through it slow. You can always practice late swaps before the new games start, right? And I'm going to drop this tutorial here. But what I mean is, you know, just because one game is at 4 o'clock and one game is at 4:30 doesn't mean you have to wait until 4:30 to do it. You could try it at 4:05. You could try it at 4:10, 4:15, right? And you could just simply practice it, right? And then, you know, you do your, like, quote-unquote final one, right? And then you're good to go, but you can walk through the steps as many times as you need to. So that's what's going on with late swap. All right, good question to get us started. Next question, what is the best way to max cap the total players to use when building lineups? Let's say I don't want to use more than 60 different players in my total lineups. So there's not a good way to do it in the pre-screen. Like, there's not a good way to, like, count how many players you have here. If you're on Ultimate, what you can do, right, is you can download the player projections, open it up, and then it'll look like this. You know, this is sorted by projection automatically. So then you can just come down here and be like, okay, hey, how many players are in my player pool total, right? Okay, there are 163 players that are projected. Now, it's going to depend how you want to filter this, right? You could just do, like, the top 60 projected players if you want. You know, you come down here. I'm looking at the count on the Excel page, which gets us to, like, right about here, right? And then I can scroll over and be like, okay, looks like projection of 25 or higher gives us 60. Now, this doesn't take into account, you know, value, right? You could have a player priced for 3,000 with 20-point projection, and they're, you know, over a 6 value, and that's actually really good, right? So I recommend using, like, the value column. You know, you come in here, go to data, put some filters on value, and then we're going to say sort largest to smallest value, and then scroll down here and then, you know, see where your 60th row ends up being, right? And that would be way higher, like somewhere around here, right? And then your value, I don't know, maybe say like 4.7 value or higher, right? There's a number of ways to do it. I always say when you do this, be very conscious of the players that you're getting rid of. Oh, I didn't finish that. So once you identify the line in Excel, right, then you come in here and you actually build the same filter. So I say with value greater than 4.7, right? And then I can sort by value and I can scroll down and then I can see where that line is, right? And then, you know, now it's a good opportunity to come in here like, hey, do I want to leave off LaMelo Ball and Amen Thompson and, you know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander? These are some big names, right? Big high scoring players, you know? So couple things you could do, right? You could boost their projection a little bit to get their value above the threshold since they're like right on the line. You could decide to change your filter. You know, you could do a number of different things here, but always be aware of the players you are excluding when using filters, right? And you would do the same thing for projection. Sort by projection, go down to, you know, the 25th point, and then it's like, okay, you know, do I want to leave off Duncan Robinson, who's, you know, projected for 17% ownership, Dennis Schroeder, 18% ownership. These guys have good values. When you're deciding to do these things. So that's my advice there. All right, next question. What should I set my percentile on for NBA and the best lineup methods? Okay, so if you're looking for advice on NBA, first and foremost, I would go over to Saber School, top right. I would go to How to Beat DFS. I would click on NBA, and I would watch some of these videos, right? I would start with the How to Build Winning NBA DFS Lineups. This is like classic style NBA format, main slates, all that kind of stuff. We have showdown stuff. We have interviews with our models team, right? We have a NBA playoff video from last season, projection video, but this How to Build Winning NBA DFS Lineups is going to be your best bet. So I would highly recommend watching this. You can watch this in the SaberSim app. And then from there, right? So we could just do a build demo here, right? We just roll with this one. So what I'm going to do, right, I'm going to set up the home screen however I like it. Let's say I reset these projections. So notice build lineups grayed out. I got to make two adjustments to projections to unlock that. I would build as many lineups as your plan allows. I'm just going to build 500 for the sake of time here. And then kick this off, right? Don't need to do anything too special. I would go to contests. While the build is running, you can come over here and upload your entry file. So make sure you're logged into DraftKings on the same browser you are logged into SaberSim on, right? And then you could use this hyperlink, which downloads the file for you automatically. Click this, drag and drop it here, and it will create contest sims where they populate white up here at the top like this. Then I would go back to my build. And we will just do a hard refresh, help SaberSim out a little bit. All right, so lineups are loaded, right? And the question seems to be around sorting metrics, like percentiles and things like that. So by default, your lineups are going to be sorted by SaberScore. Okay, this is our in-house lineup grading metric. And we think it's really good, right? And if you're interested in how it's created, you come in here, you hover, you click this eye icon, and then it pulls up the formula. So SaberScore is composed of three variables, some projection, lineup percentile, and then a negative weight on average adjusted ownership. Okay, I'll break these all down. So some projection is your standard projected score of the lineup, adding up all the players' projections, very common sorting metric. We don't feel like projected score alone is a good enough metric to grade your lineups by, which is why we created SaberScore. Second is lineup percentile. Okay, so imagine that you have a player, right? And then you click on the player's name and you see this graph. This is basically describing how they did in our sims. Okay, so we're saying in 14% of our sims, Trae Young scores about 50 points. In 11%, he scores about 60, et cetera, right? We effectively create the same style graph for the lineup as a whole. So what we do is after the lineup is put into the pool, we go back into the sims and we say, hey, how did this group of eight players do in the sims that we used? And then we get a graph for the players as a whole. And those end up being the percentiles, okay? So these percentiles, when I come down here in the summary stats, it's saying, hey, the 99th percentile of this lineup is 356 points. What that means is that in 1% of our sims, this lineup scored 356 points. 85th, which is 309, means that 15% of the time, this lineup scored 309 points. Okay, so it's giving you a idea of how this lineup does when all the players are looked at the same time rather than individually. Okay, so this is another variable. And then the other last variable is this adjusted ownership one. Basically, what we do is we look at the player's ownership in the contest. We look at how they do in the sims, so their range of outcomes graph, and then we give them a score. And typically, the lower when adjusted ownership is lower than actual ownership, that is very good. When adjusted ownership is higher than actual ownership, that is not good. And that's why there is a negative weight on it. The bigger the adjusted ownership, the worse that is. And so we're taxing lineups with high adjusted ownership. Okay. So I would stick with SaberScore. It's going to have percentile automatically. You don't need to do anything special. Okay. But I just wanted to describe the percentiles to show you what's going on, show you how they're being used by default here. And again, check out that NBA video in SaberScore, NBA DFS, how to build winning lineups. And that should help you get on the right track in building strong NBA lineups. All right, next question. So autofill will automatically put the right lineups into the right contest. I don't have to adjust or click on anything else. I'm playing everything from $100 single entry to 100 lineups in a $3 tournament. So really want to make sure I'm doing everything right. Yes, you're correct. And the easier way to probably describe this. Oops. And I'm just trying to bring this up. Okay, so this is what our autofill looks like, right? So what autofill does is, you see this rank by column, they're all listed ROI, and then we have this master sort up at the top. So what this builder is, what we're telling the builder to do when in autofill is, hey, when you rank these lineups, use the specific contest's ROI. Don't use a mix. Don't use an aggregate. Use only this one when looking at this lineup. So what autofill does is it goes through and it fills all of these lineups one at a time. If it's putting lineups into the contest one at a time, it's not looking at them all together. So it kind of cycles, and you can see it when you save, and it's actually happening right here, right? The builder is going down one at a time. You see this source column says build one, and then these other ones say upload. If we play this, it's going to continue to go down, build one, populates, next contest, next contest, next contest. So it's cycling through all the contests, putting the lineups in. And each time it's doing that, it's sorting the lineups by that specific contest that it's filling at that moment. So autofill does do this automatically, and you don't need to do anything special. All right, good question there. Next question. When using SaberSim to maximize value in daily fantasy sports, is it more effective to cap exposures or boost/dock a player based on their leverage score? Additionally, when curating a player pool, should I focus on narrowing it down to a select group of players, or is it better to leave the entire field available to optimize flexibility and upside potential? Okay, so two questions here, right? First one was, when using SaberSim to maximize value, is it more effective to cap exposures or boost/dock players based on their leverage score? So this is a risk tolerance question, right? And we talk about this a lot, right? So like we were doing this build demo. So normally what I always say, right, come in here, sort by exposures, make sure you can like view your exposures and your leverages. And this will always tell you which players you are a lot higher on than the field, or inversely, which players you are a lot lower on than the field, right? So like I can come in, sort by leverage, I could sort high to low, but then I can also sort low to high, right? And I could see which players I'm effectively taking a stand against here, right? I'm taking a stand against Paul George, against Davion Mitchell, right? 0% exposure, and their ownership is a little bit higher. I could sort the other way And I say, I'm taking a big stand on Okongwu. I'm taking a big stand on Kyrie Irving, right? So you got to figure out what leverage you're comfortable with at the end of the day, right? And with that, hold on, give me one quick sec. Sorry about that. My dog was like making way too much noise. All right. Where were we? So we were talking about leverage, right? So normally when I talk about this, right, what I always say is like you want to try and get some diversification without sacrificing too much projection or ROI, right? So if you're not using ROI, let's say you're just using projection, then I would start increasing this min uniques to diversify my lineups. It's going to spread out my player pool. It's going to spread out my exposures. And then I'm watching this 272.4 number. And I go from 1 to 3, right? At 3, it goes down 0.1 points. That's great. At 4, it goes down. We're down about like half a point, right? So on average, we've lost half a point in projection. But we've gone from 1 min unique to 4, which means that we're guaranteeing that at least 4 players out of 8 are different in every lineup that we're playing. And notice our top exposures have gone down. Our player pool's gone up a little bit. Our leverage has come down, right? So you got to figure out what number you want to use. And even 5 looks pretty good. You know, we're down, I think, 2 points projection, but our exposures are getting really, really flat. Our leverage is getting really, really flat. We've added 4 players to our player pool. I'd be really happy with 5, right? And what we're doing is we're trying to find a number where the exposures and stands that we're taking match your risk tolerance. Some people might not care and they might be comfortable with 1. Some people might be comfortable with 5. Other people somewhere in between, right? This is all kind of what I call like personalizing the lineups. You know, you're making the lineups your own and you got to figure out what numbers make sense to you, right? So for me, 5 felt like a pretty good number, but for somebody else, that might not be the right one, right? So I think this is effectively a way of lowering exposures without setting hard caps. What I normally recommend is starting with the uniques and then doing any fine-tune adjustments if there's 1 or 2 players that still are making you uncomfortable. Maybe you have too much of them. Maybe you don't have enough. You know, a couple fine-tune adjustments work from that point. But in general, I would go uniques, then max caps. As far as like boosting or docking players, you know, I am using the leverage, right? I'm looking at this to figure out where my biggest stands are, and then I'm making a conscious decision of, am I comfortable with those stands or not? So that's the way I would be approaching that problem. Second question was, when curating a player pool, should you focus on narrowing it down to a select group of players, or is it better to leave the entire field available? I think it is totally okay to curate your player pool. I wouldn't be hyper aggressive, like you saying, like narrow it down to a select group of players. You know, I'm not saying like only use, you know, 20 players or anything like that. But I think it's okay to avoid players like as you wish, right? Like earlier we were talking about someone who's like, hey, I ought to get my player pool down to like 60 players. And we're messing around with projection filters, value filters, different things like that, right? I just think that no matter what you decide to do, it is important to go to that point that you're talking about and put eyes on the players you're Xing off and make sure you're comfortable with that decision, right? Like when we came down here and I think we sorted by value or we filtered by value. And then I scroll down here and say, hey, you know, do I want to leave some of these players off here? Well, if not, what do I do? Do I boost their projections? Do I change my filter? No matter what you do, I would always put eyes on the line between in the player pool and outside of the player pool. But in general, I think curating your player pool is a totally fine thing to do. And it just helps to give you more lineups that you actually want to play, right? I think one of the worst things that you could do is waste lineups in your pool. You know, you only can build so many lineups, and you don't want to waste 10% of them. You know, if there's a player that you know you don't want to play, just take him out, and then you're going to get more lineups that you're actually willing to play. All right. Good stuff there. Going back to office hours. Bud said, how do I stack specific NHL lines? So the best way to do that, and if we go pull up NHL for today, five-game main slate. So you're probably going to have to use rules to do this, right? Let's say you want to target the highest goal total team, Toronto, and you want to play Toronto line one power play, right? So then I would go to rules. Maybe you're like okay with a couple, right? Maybe you like narrow it down, like, okay, Toronto power play one, LA power play one, and I don't know, Buffalo, right? Like you have like three teams. So then what I would do is I would go to stack. I would go, I think basic's fine. And you would do at least three. And then you could say must be on. You could, there's a couple different things you could do, right? Power play line. You could do EV or power play. I'd say that these two are like the most common. Power play, EV or power play, or even EV. And then you could, now you can determine what lines you want available, right? So like maybe I only want EV one or two and power play one. And then for the teams that I'm targeting, I come in here and I only check those ones, right? So we said the Kings, said Toronto, and then I think we said Buffalo, right? So then now what I'm doing is I'm making sure that I'm going to get at least three, I crank this up to four if I want, at least four players that are on Buffalo, the Kings, or Toronto, and the players are going to be on even strength line one or one or two or power play one. So some type of stacking rule like this is going to be the best way to guarantee you get exposure to certain lines in your NHL lineup. So mess around with this. You know, there's some customization here with teams, with lines, with even strength, power play, or both. And then even positions, right? Like, do you want to have a D-man in there, you know, so you can kind of figure all these things out. But some type of stacking rule like this with some customization should get you where you're trying to go. All right. Good stuff there. I think we are all caught up here in the Discord and YouTube chat, and we knocked out a build demo. So appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.